Hi, good to see everybody. Got a little tickle in my throat, so hopefully we can get through this without any problems. All right, let's get into our lesson. The title of the lesson is Spiritual Distancing. I had a lesson similar to this a little over a year ago when the things were going on like they were. And so I will enhance it a little bit this time. And so, spiritual distancing, does that sound familiar? Yeah. Especially in our day and age. I mean, there are some things we must distance ourselves from for our eternal security. And that's the spiritual focus we want to put on this lesson. Now, the term social distancing has become a part of our world these past few years. And it seems like some people are not willing to give it up, and even though it's not necessary. And then, of course, in some cases, yeah, it is necessary. I mean, people who use their brains and realize, okay, if they're sick, they shouldn't be around people. That's one thing, common sense. But some people aren't that brilliant and bright enough to know that, so that's why everybody else has stepped in and say, keep your distance. And so chances are that it will remain for a few more years. It's going to be around for a while. And of course, every disease that comes up from now on, we're going to be stuck back with the same thing. And the purpose, like I said, was supposedly for the safety and prevention of spreading a virus. Of course, we know how that worked out. But then there is another virus out there that is worse than COVID-19. And you think, well, what could that be? Most people in the world would have no idea what we're talking about. The virus of sin. I mean, that's definitely a problem that we have. And so for our soul's sake, we must distance ourselves from sin, and we must distance ourselves from those who do sin. All right. In Proverbs, that should be chapter 1, not chapter 14. In Proverbs 1, verse 15, enter not into the path of the wicked, and do not go in the way of evil men. Avoid it, pass not by it, turn from it, and pass away. I mean, that's some very good advice. Of course, the scriptures and Proverbs, yeah, wisdom is giving advice. And it's advice that we should be paying attention to. And so Solomon makes it very clear that we need to keep a safe distance from those who cause us to sin. And so that's what we have to be mindful of. And sadly, the people that we want to hang around, they're causing us to sin, and we're really not making any effort to get away from them. And that's detrimental to our soul. So these could be evil people, or our best friends, or so we think. And we'll describe what a good and true friend is later on. And so actually, anyone or anything that keeps you from serving God as you should is to be considered evil. Now, this may be members of your family who think it's more important to go on a family outing than allow you to go to church. I mean, that basically, they fall under the category of evil. And we have neighbors that we think, okay, well, maybe that they're just sweet people, but God calls them evil. Anybody who is not a faithful Christian, God calls evil. I mean, we have to keep that in mind. And that's why we have to keep our distance from the world and the people of this world. See, in Psalm 1:1, how blessed is man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, nor stand in the path of sinners, nor sit in the seat of scoffers. I mean, the psalmist says, God declares that if you can distance yourself from these people, you will be blessed. And then, of course, you will not get caught up in their problems and their ways. You spend time around people, you're going to have problems. And so here's the problem we all must deal with. And I think we all can understand this. As humans, most people learn to be social creatures. There's other humans around. The quicker we get around and adapt and be like them, the more satisfied we're going to be. See, we tend to adapt our ways to whomever we are around. I mean, there's a great lesson here, and Yeah, but the problem is, most of the people that we're around are not Christians. And so here's the deal. We want to fit in and be socially acceptable to our associates, the people we hang around. So what are we going to do? Well, we're going to start behaving like them. We're going to start talking like them. And we're going to be doing things that we know better. We know God doesn't like it, but we want to fit in. We want them to accept us. And that's the only way it appears that's going to happen. They won't accept our religion. They won't accept our trying to be morally right or anything like that. But if we can fit in with them and talk dirty and talk smack and all this other stuff, and if we can behave in such a way that we show no respect to others or to God, they're okay with that. And is that the type of people you want to fit in with? I mean, so Paul warned us about having the right kind of companions. He says there in 1 Corinthians 15:33, do not be deceived. Bad company corrupts good morals. I mean, hear from the apostle saying that. Very rarely does someone change a bad person into a good person. I mean, it just rare, very rare. And so if you're thinking that, well, I'll go in and change them by behaving like they are. No, that's not going to work. And so that's what we have to deal with. See, 2 Corinthians 6:14-18. Paul writes, be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath light with darkness? And what concord hath Christ with Belial? Or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? Wherefore, come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing. And I will receive you, and will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. Now, the last part of this is a quotation from Isaiah. And, I mean, they had the problem back then. They were worshiping idols. They were doing just like the people of the land were doing and their neighbors were doing. And God says, come out and be separate from them. Don't be doing those things because it's not good for you. All right, so we know that there are people out there. And we like to use the phrase, they're just toxic. I mean, we've used that sometimes when someone is there. I mean, whether it's their hatred and contempt that they show to others or their constant complaining, we just do not like to be around them. And there's people like that, even people in the church. I mean, they get to the point where it's unending and we just don't want to be around them anymore. And so they have that. And if we choose to hang around them, we could pick up their bad morals and habits. And that's the deal. If you want to be friends with somebody, you got to show yourself friendly. And how do you do that? You figure out what they like to do and do it. And so if they like to talk with foul language and obscenities, and you realize the only way you're going to get on board with them and have them as a friend and companion is you're going to have to speak the obscenities and the bad language. So no, that's not good. And so just associating with them could cause others to view us in the same light as those evil ones. I mean, you might be a good moral person, but if you're hanging around a bunch of thugs, what are people going to think about you? I mean, look at that one good person in the midst of all those thugs. You think that's going to happen? No. All right. See, going back to Proverbs chapter 4, 14 and 15. All right. I mean, very, very similar to chapter 1 there. But enter not into the path of the wicked, and do not go in the way of evil men. Avoid it, pass not by it, turn from it, and pass away. See, Solomon made it clear that we need to keep a safe distance from evil people and situations. All right, the problem could be that we fail to identify what an evil situation or evil person is. That is a big problem. Because some Christians are not adept in the scriptures enough to know if something is right or wrong. You know, in Hosea 4:6, he says, "My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge." Members of the church who don't study their Bibles have no idea if something is right or wrong, even if someone tells them. I mean, even if the preacher tells them. No, they just assume the preacher knows what he's talking about, and they just go along with it. But no, preacher's human. Preacher can make mistakes, and you need to verify. So whatever they are teaching you, you need to go to God's Word and see if it conforms. So a lot of times we fail to identify what an evil situation could be. I mean, it might be the fact that, okay, all right, let's go see a movie tonight. Well, what's it rated? PG. Oh, no, those are too boring. PG-13, a little racy, but rated R. Oh, yeah, let's go see that, or mature adults or something like that. I mean, we have to make choices, and we got to make the decisions. What are we going to do? What are we going to watch? How are we going to do our recreation? And what's it going to cost us in the end? See, the way to determine if one is evil or not is to learn if they are interested in your soul and want to help you get to heaven. Folks, this is where you find a true friend, one who cares about your soul and wants to assist you to get to heaven. That means they will correct you if you use bad language. They will say, don't use that kind of language. Or taking the name of the Lord in vain. Don't do that. Or maybe trying to maybe take a nip or two of some alcoholic beverage. No, be sober-minded. I mean, a true friend will guide you towards heaven. If your friend, the people you consider your friend, are not trying to guide you towards heaven or encourage you to be faithful to get to heaven, I mean, they're not your friend. I mean, they might be a close acquaintance. Maybe you like their company or whatever. But we need to realize that if they're not helping you. Now, here's the flip side of that. Why aren't you trying to help them get to heaven? That's the next important thing about this statement. Why aren't you helping your friends get to heaven? Let's have a Bible study. Let's see what God teaches. Let's read about Jesus and what he did for us and things like that. See how quickly your friends disappear. We know that's going to happen. You know it's going to happen. You know full well if you started bringing up Jesus and Christ and moral living, they're going to start making fun of you. They're going to go tell all their friends, oh, stay away from so-and-so because they're talking about God. They're talking about Jesus and all this sort of garbage. You know full well that's exactly what they'll do, but then you still want to hang around them and pattern your life after them. See, it doesn't make a lot of sense. See, whoever it is, could be your boyfriend, your girlfriend, your spouse, your parents, your children, your neighbors, your coworkers, your friends, and even strangers. I think that covers everybody. But if that is the case, you need to find people who do care about your soul and want to help you get to heaven. And the biggest thing is, where am I going to find people like that? See, if someone wants to help you get to heaven, you cannot find a better friend anywhere to be around you. If you have a friend that they're concerned about your soul and they're trying to work with you and help you get better in your faith, you cannot find a better friend than that. And so, do you want to know where to find such friends? I'm almost saying this is a rhetorical question, but some people have no idea. And that's so sad. You find people like that at church. At least a lot of them are. A lot of people in this congregation, they care about souls, and they will work with you and help you in any way that you need it. If you need to understand something, you read something in the Bible, you don't understand it, yeah, you a phone call will work. And so people know that. In Proverbs 22, 24 through 25, it says, "Make no friendship with an angry man, and with a furious man thou shalt not go, lest thou learn his ways and get a snare to thy soul." So Solomon wrote this, but actually the Holy Spirit directed him. We need to remember that. He gives us this warning. He gives us the reason to avoid such a person, lest we learn his ways, lest we become like them. So that's a reason we have to do that. And so some people just want to be angry all the time, and they are not the type of people who care if you go to heaven or not. And that's true. We know people who are always angry. They're always looking for a reason to be angry, always looking for a reason to speak out and declare their moral superiority over others. And there are people like that. There's people around us all the time who are complainers. They complain about this, they complain about that. Maybe they complain about what goes on at church. Maybe they complain about the government. They complain about the gas prices. They complain about any and everything. Complaining does not help anybody get to heaven. And so there's people who are just that way. And they're that way all the time. And if they don't care about you going to heaven, they're really not the type of people we need to be around. See, in Proverbs 29, 22, "An angry man stirs up strife, and a hot-tempered man abounds in transgression." I mean, you probably know people like this. They're always angry. They always have a short fuse, and they just assume hit you as to look at you. I mean, some are like that. We have some here who used to be that way. Used to be is the operative word there. See, angry people demonstrate their anger to get people to do their bidding. And so they demonstrate anger. "I'll beat you up if you don't do what I tell you to do." Something like that. That's what angry people do. And if or they get angry, "Well, we're going to stage a demonstration. Or we're going to tell lies about you." I mean, that's one of the biggest fears that we should have, is the fact that they would tell lies about us. I mean, if we're trying to serve God, we'd hate for them to start spreading lies about, "Oh, Carrie, we saw him going into this topless bar. We saw him going stumbling out of the bar drunk," or something like that. Well, you know, that's similar to what Peter said, you know. And Paul said pretty much the same thing. Says, you live your life exemplary so that when they malign you, they will, because of your good behavior, recognize that, and they'll be put to shame. See, we're supposed to live our way that others will not condemn us. That's what Paul said, 1 Corinthians 9:27. "I buffet my body daily so that those who might be my adversary has nothing to charge me with." I mean, that's paraphrasing, but that's basically what it says. And so if someone told you Carrie Scott was stumbling drunk out of a bar, you'd know a lot better than that, because you know me. Now, if you don't know me, that could be a problem. Sure, okay. Who's Carrie Scott? I'll probably ask the next question, but anyway. But still, at the very least, these people want to control you by fear. You know, sometimes we can say that about government. They want to control people by fear. And, you know, sometimes they have a way of exaggerating. If you don't wear a mask, you're going to kill your grandparents. You're going to kill your friends, your family members. And they work by fear. And what happens? People hear that garbage, and they kind of go along with it. And so someone shows up without a mask. "Oh, you're going to kill me." Right. See, Proverbs 29, verse 25, "The fear of man brings a snare, but he who trusts in the Lord will be exalted." Yes. So don't give in to people just because you're afraid of them. God will take care of you. We know that. See, passages like these make it clear that when we recognize evil men and their ways, we need to get away from them. Do we really? Do we get away from them as we should? We should, but do we always? You know, we're warned, do not go near or dabble in these things. So that's what happens. When you get around them, you're going to start dabbling in some of this stuff. And you're hanging around a bunch of thieves, guess what? They're going to be kind of, yeah, pick this up, pick that up, put it in your pocket. Nobody's going to notice. And you can get in trouble that way. It's definitely, if you steal, you're violating God's rules. So, as he said, do not walk, do not stand, do not sit with evil people, but go away. Get away from them. So spiritual distancing in this case will help save our souls from hell. And so you ask yourself, are there people who deserve to be socially distanced? Well, we know the answer to that. There's a lot of people need to be socially distanced from us who are Christians. We definitely know that, but will we do it? You know, there's many warnings from the pages of God's Word that tell us to separate ourselves or distance ourselves from those who are evil, those who promote evil, those who teach evil and to teach falsehood. I mean, we have to be aware of that. And those who do not know God or keep His commandments are who we're talking about. I mean, there's a lot of people who don't know who God is, and their morals are very low and corrupt. And there's a lot of people who've just chosen not to keep His commandments. They do what they want to do. All right, so 2 Thessalonians 1:8. And these are the ones we must spiritually distance ourselves from. If we cannot turn them to get them to the areas we need to be. I mean, that's what we need to do. And so, take inventory of your supposed friends and see if they're helping you get to heaven. All right, think about that. See if your friends are helping you get to heaven. If not, it's time for a change. And you do your part. You try and help them get to heaven and see what happens. So, if not, it is time to change your friends or go find new friends. I mean, very simple lesson, but yes, distancing is helpful for our souls if we will choose the right ones to distance from. Now, I do know some people who distance themselves from members of the church. They don't want to be around members of the church. I mean, for whatever reason. They talk about the Bible too much. They're too sweet and kind or whatever. I can't fathom someone saying that, but you know what? It becomes quite obvious when you know there's several people that just pop out the door just as quick as they can when they don't want to be around anybody. That's not good either. So think about these things, and that is our lesson. We're going to sing an invitation song. You know, obedience to God is required. And we need to obey His commandments, and I would suggest not just some of His commandments, but all of His commandments. Most everybody in this room has done at least most of His commandments, but there's a few that have not done all of His commandments. If you want to go to heaven, you need to start working on doing all of His commandments. That's what Jesus said. If you love me, you'll keep my commandments. So you can claim to love Jesus, but if you don't keep His commandments, it's basically telling a story that I don't love Jesus. I mean, that's there. So think about these things. And we offer the invitation. Sometimes we just need to get ourselves back on the right track, and we can help you there too. We can pray for you, and we can assist you in any way that we can. And we invite you to come while together we stand and sing.